Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. WBQC LP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQC LP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQC LP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
I got a hand full of wonder seed. I'm gonna cultivate this mystery and grow a big green bean tree.
Do you want a marijuana? Do you want a marijuana?
Give 95.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here's Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC LP, low power to the people.
Got links machine to getting crazy, getting lazy with all the correlation. Some walls closing doors, trying to bring about one quicker man. Revelations, economic rationale, call of ours with the workers just trying to make you pay. Cost cutting, hip hop, big music, doing what they like, and you do what they say. What's wrong? Get along, just belong. All the blood you gotta go on the inside. But these entities just try to raise all the apathy, man, to try and to hide. How now, Brown County, we have only stand the place, and now we're needed. Till then, my friend, you must go down with the monster that you're feeding. I used to get high for a living, believing everything that I saw on the TV. I used to get high for a living, eating all the bullshit food that told me. I used to get high for a living, thinking that my destiny was out of my control. I used to get high for a living, without the deliverance and the damn new soul. Escape down, we're all trying to get away from this place, man, that we're feeling. Can't you get me? We're all trying to get some all time is stealing. No doubt, no doubt, we won't get find the cloud that you've been needing. Till then, my friend, you must go dinner with the most to lay on me. I used to get high for a living, believing everything that I saw on the TV. I used to get high for a living, eating all the bullshit food that sold me. I used to get high for a living, thinking that my destiny was out of my control.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
We believe the war on drugs is really a war on people.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of a first-time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war
isn't that the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Matilda Krim.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Montel Williams, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City. WVQC.org. Cincinnati's
95.7 FM.
FM.
Hello, hello. Is anybody in there? Hello, hello. Can I hear myself? Sort of.
I don't know. You need to talk louder.
I think I'm there.
I got you.
Am I there? A little more, a little more. Give me a little bit more audio. There you go. Perfect. Boy, it's been a while since you've been here.
Yes, it has.
And the maimed Pottsbury Dope Boy is back in the house.
Ooh. What's up?
Of course, I am the Happy Hemptress, and it is Hemp Rock Radio. And today, rolling up the pot is Chef Pot Nash, back from his
convalescence,
tripping down a pothole.
Yeah, why couldn't it have been a rabbit hole? That's what I need to know.
Because it's not wabbit season.
It's always wabbit season.
Now, of course, if you just tuned in and you didn't know who you were listening to, it is WVQC. We are at WVQC.org and the great signal of 95.7 FM can be heard throughout the double state area, because Indiana can't hear it. I guarantee Indiana can't.
Not yet.
Not yet. Now, you know, if, though, you're watching Time Warner Cable and there's nothing airing on Channel 24, I think, or 4, whichever one it is, WVQC is the background, so you can hear us live.
Nice.
If you're watching and listening. Now, we have a very, very special guest.
Where is she?
And I'm going to give her a hello. This is
take it.
of course, the Dope Boys. Oh, and by the way, Burnman is on his way. He's coming. Okay. He's rolling in from the 420 appliance repair, you know. So he'll be here in a few minutes.
Nice.
But our very, very special guest in the studio today is Jay Allday.
Why, hello there. I'm so excited to be on the show with Mr. Doughboy and Ms. Hemptress.
Dope boy with a P.
Dope. Let's see if we can do the pop. Okay, that's how I'll say it. Dope boy.
Now, of course, to tell you who Jay Allday is, she is the illustrious, beautiful woman that follows Hemp Rock Radio every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, right after this show. So stay tuned for her show, Cincinnati's Conscience.
I'm where hippie meets hood, man.
That's
hippie
right.
Meets hood.
And right now, the hood is meeting the hippie today. So she is going to join us throughout the rest of the show till her show in about 50 minutes. So stay tuned for that. Who you got on today on your show?
You know what? I have David Bright. He is the coordinator as well as one of the founding members of the Black Family Reunion.
Fantastic.
Which is coming up in a couple weeks. So
fantastic.
My guest. And then we'll talk about a death that recently happened this past weekend. Everett Howard, 18-year-old kid.
Terrible. I wanted to talk about that with you today as well.
Well,
that was
that,
one of the
man.
Topics that I
let's
want to talk
do that.
About.
Let's do
another
that.
Tragedy.
Yeah.
Another senseless tragedy.
Yeah.
And I would like to, we'll talk about this in a minute, but I have this thing that I think they should do stats to see how many people die from guns by cops.
Okay.
And how many people die from tasers from cops to see, because that's supposed to be the non-lethal weapon.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about them getting shot all the time.
Yeah.
But you also hear about the tasers all the time.
Yeah. They scare me, man.
It's ridiculous. I mean, that's like getting, you know, electric shock before you're found guilty.
Exactly. You know, if it's not worth, you know, it's bad enough that you're sort of this public display of military-esque force.
Yeah.
And if it's not embarrassing enough to lose all bodily functions and sense of reality, to then ultimately pass away by something like a heart attack. They just scare me.
Yeah,
you know?
They should.
Actually, that they used to just call that summary execution.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary.
Where the cop could just walk up and kill you.
Wow.
Because that's what they're doing with those things. You're being electrocuted.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's the chair before you get found guilty.
Yeah.
And, listen, I am disgusted. Okay, now, Let's talk about this for a minute, because we're not going to dig. That is no digressing. But I have the story up, and I don't know if you caught this. And, you know, here in Cincinnati, we have experienced this with Timothy Thomas's death by Cincinnati policemen. Who
Roger Owensby was
another one. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. But it's all senseless. Every damn bit of it is senseless. And now, the reason why I said Timothy Thomas is in comparison to what happened after the fact with, some people call it riots.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a touch of it to some degree, the looting and different stuff.
Yeah.
But just the whole issue of what it led to has now, of course, happened in London.
Wow.
Have you heard about what happened in London?
I have not.
This was all over some of the news over the weekend.
Okay.
You know, it's similar to the news that didn't happen too much in America when the students were protesting over in England.
Yeah.
And, of course, now the adopted son of David Gilmour, guitarist of Pink Floyd's son, just got 16 months for what we call disorderly conduct, violent disorder in England, for hanging from the flagpole of the cenotaph, which is their war dead monument.
Yeah.
And this was during the student
protest. 16
months. Because of who he is. Okay. And he didn't do any damage. There wasn't any real riots. Okay. they got a little bit out of hand to some degree, but not anything worth 16 months. So I want to know what they're going to do with the 48 that were arrested over the weekend.
Wow.
This is coming out over the weekend. Similar story.
Yeah.
British authorities appealed for calm Sunday, a day after rioting, looting, and multiple fires tore through a deprived area of North London. Mm. Deprived area. In other words, the ghetto of London.
Right, okay? Right. So
with, in the hood of London. With police monitoring social network sites to prevent a repeat of the violence, a peaceful protest against a fatal police shooting of 29-year-old man, a black man, in London's Tottenham area degenerated into a Saturday night rampage. And it continued till yesterday. Last night, there were reports of it happening again the next second day, with rioters torching a double-decker bus. I watched that in the news. Blaze. Double-decker. Destroying patrol cars and trashing a shopping mall in the nearby Wood Green District. Several buildings were also set ablaze. TV footage showed the double-decker bus and a fireball of mounted police charging through the streets trying to restore order. Police said 26 officers received injuries. But all I can say is they know how to riot over in London better than we do, because I don't think we had any cops hurt here when the riots happened, did they?
I don't think so. They weren't having that.
Yeah. So, obviously, they're better rioters than Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Not to say that I condone hurting the police. That's not what I'm saying.
But I feel you.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, but everybody in Cincinnati knows they shoot to kill.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, they do in London, too, because that's what set this off. They're starting to act like America. We're sending our stuff back home.
Wow.
Police said, most if not all, apparently minor injuries, though, and made 48 arrests. London's fire department said it dealt with 49 primary fires in Tottenham. No firefighters were injured, thank God.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yes, we do.
This continues to go on down. Talks about what set it off, how they're trying to get it to slow down, and... the London mayor, his name is Boris Johnson, says, I hope people will have a fantastic Olympics. They're all worried about what's going to happen to the 2012 Olympics
now,
if that's going to put a detriment towards it. He said in a telephone, no matter what happened last night, he said in the telephone interview with BBC, trying to assure the world his city it was safe. Others weren't so sure, suggesting that the riots had exposed incipient tensions at a time of sharp public sector cutbacks and economic uncertainty. This is just a glimpse into the abyss, former Metropolitan Police Commander John O'Connor told Sky News Television. Someone's pulled the clock back, and you can look and see what's beneath the surface. And what with the Olympic Games coming up, this doesn't bode very well for London. The protest against the death of Martin... This is all it says.
Right.
This is the sad part about this article. The protest against the death of Mark Dugan, a father of four who was gunned down in disputed circumstances last Thursday, was initially peaceful, but it got ugly as between 300 and 500 people gathered around Tottenham's police station. Some protesters filled bottles with gasoline to throw at police lines. Others confronted officers with makeshift weapons, including baseball bats and bars, and attempted to storm the station.
Wow.
Within hours, they had the riot gear out, blah, blah, blah. This is the last thing that I want to say. It says, very few details of Dugan's death have been released, although police said initially that an officer was briefly hospitalized after the shooting, suggesting there was some kind of an exchange of fire. Media reports said a bullet had been found lodged in the officer's police radio. Now wait. Demonizing the victim already.
Right.
Dugan's family rejected any suggestion that he had fired at officers. His brother, Sean Hall, said his sibling would never attack police. That's ridiculous, he told Sky News. As for the rioting, he condemned it. There was a domino effect, which we don't condone at all, he said. Local lawmaker David Lammy, speaking to residents from behind police tape earlier in the day, said that Dugan's shooting raised huge questions and we need answers.
Yes,
but he warned against renewed violence. The response to that is not to loot and rob. This must stop. Tottenham has a history of unrest. It was the site of the 1985 Broadwater Farm riots, a series of clashes that led to the savaging stabbing of a police officer and the wounding of nearly 60 others.
Wow.
Now, this is the only clue. Brutally underscoring tensions between London's police and the capital's black community.
Mm. Oh, man.
Says relations have improved since, but mistrust still lingers. The last couple of sentences is what gives it away that this was an African, well, African England.
Right.
English, because he's not American.
Black dude.
Black dude.
Yeah.
Now,
sorry.
The racist is abound. Now, this kid, well, I forgot his name, I'm very sorry, here locally, what happened?
Everett Howard is the name. There was some sort of, I guess, argument that had ensued between some young people up on UC's campus, and he was sort of, from reports, sort of trying to mediate the argument. The police were called, UC police. They told him to step away, do not step towards them. My inclination is he stepped towards them to discuss the matter as the mediator. They warned him not to come any closer. I guess he proceeded, and they tased him. And he
had no weapon but his fist.
No weapon. Yeah, no weapons whatsoever.
And allegedly had him clenched.
Yes, yeah. Now,
it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. There was a time when cops would go, let's talk about this. Let's see what's going on. Let you come over here.
Yeah.
Not, don't come near me.
Yeah.
You know, and they're scared to death for no reason. Not for no reason.
Right.
But a little bit over the top.
And I'm a big proponent or supporter of maiming. You know.
Yeah.
I'm all for maiming somebody if you feel threatened. Why is it always death that is, you know, the immediate solution or, you know, mortally injuring someone?
Why does he even have to tase him? Why can't he just pick up his billy club and go, stop where you are, I'm going to hit you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then... if he lunges towards them.
Or I'm going to pop you in the kneecap.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for cowboy style.
You know,
it
used to be stop or I shoot.
Yeah.
Not shoot and then stop.
Yeah.
And police are supposed to be trained marksmen, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
I know I was a military policeman, and I was taught to shoot you in the leg.
Right.
Not unless you were coming towards me with a weapon.
Yeah.
Then shoot center mass.
Yeah.
Otherwise... Yeah. Put them on the ground.
Yeah.
You don't have to kill with every shot.
And I'm cool with that, you know? I'm cool with that. At least it allows justice on multiple levels. It allows both parties to share their side of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, now there's only one side.
We only know,
And that side, I don't want to take away from the UC cop because I don't think of them as real cops to begin with. It kind of, the word is out there, he feels really bad, blah, blah, blah. You know, I feel bad for him feeling bad.
Yeah.
I have empathy for his sorrow.
Right.
But dude, you killed a kid for no reason. A good kid. This wasn't even a thug.
Exactly. And that's where, for me, the questions and the need for conversation arises because...
Conversation's over, honey.
Yeah.
The fact is, let's just face facts. It's a racist situation.
Yeah.
You're black.
Yeah.
Shoot first.
Yeah. Target.
Target.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I say this all the time, and I know you probably haven't heard it because you follow us.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I bitch about all the time on the show is I'm getting sick to death of specifically black mothers being arrested and thrown in jail for things that white women don't go to jail for.
Wow. Examples, please. One example.
One example. We have a vice principal of Glen Estes School that left her child in a car for 8 hours and it died.
Yeah.
We have a second white mother who was a teacher at the Christian College.
I remember that.
Okay, 6 months after the first death.
Yeah, I remember.
Same incident. Had to go to school. Left the baby in the car.
She had to get those donuts inside.
That was Glen Estes.
That blew my mind.
The donuts
man.
Were more important than the baby.
Yeah.
Okay. And not to knock Oprah, but they made it on Oprah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And their story was, well, it was the first day of school, and normally, the father would drop the little girl off at the babysitter, but because he had a dental appointment that morning, he asked the wife to drop the baby off instead. And because it was out of her normal routine, she forgot the baby was sitting in the back seat.
Although
for eight hours. She walked past the baby to get the donuts out of the back of her SUV.
Twice. Well, to get the donuts in her purse.
What are you trying to say, Doughboy?
Now,
if somebody's so oblivious,
yeah.
Now, how many
maybe
times
they should hold off smoking till after class?
Yeah, or eating.
I'm just saying.
I was about to say, was that donut really worth your baby's life?
Exactly.
Right now,
biatch.
How many times have we heard about the black mothers in the poor neighborhoods? Not that there aren't black mothers in good neighborhoods and rich neighborhoods, but specifically it's the ones that can't afford the lawyers
and
can't fight, okay? Where they have a horrible landlord that doesn't take care of the windows and the doors and stuff, and somewhere along the line, mom's in the kitchen cooking and the 2-3-year-old goes to the bedroom on the second or third floor where they're in the crappy apartment and falls out the broken screen.
Yes.
that the landlord won't fix,
right,
to either it's injury, maybe death. And those mothers get arrested and charged,
right,
with negligence,
right,
and get sent to jail.
Right.
Then we have a 23-year-old mother who was doing nothing wrong, as far as I'm concerned, even if it is against the law to smoke marijuana. I don't care. The joint that she had her little girl smoking that she took the pictures of,
mm-hmm,
that then somebody in the family went, oh my God, turn her in for that because that's just doing damage to that child, when we know it's not. She's still sitting in jail, as far as I know. She did 3 months before she was ever found guilty and was sentenced because she got her child high. Something that doesn't hurt the little girl. She was yanked from her good mother and given over to a family member for getting the kid high.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, that baby didn't die.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on and on of all the cases. Now, here we have Casey Anthony. I don't want to get on that and digress on that. But if she were black, that jury would have found that mother guilty.
Yes.
Okay? That's just my firm belief.
That's my belief.
But because
as well.
She was white, they went, oh, it was just an accident that they tried to cover up and look like a murder. Does that even make sense? It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't cover up an accident to look like a murder and not report it for 30 days.
Right.
Come on. That's enough evidence for me.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the death penalty because I don't support the death penalty. So in that case, the prosecutor did screw up on how they.
Yeah.
They did that. But then in the same week, thank God, somebody on I think it was the prosecutor's office. I don't remember where the case is. But it was a young black mother with three children, one in a stroller, got off the bus and lived in the apartment building across the street from the bus station. And instead of walking a quarter mile to the bus, to the next crosswalk, maybe not a quarter mile, but a tenth of a mile, whatever. It was like a 5-minute walk with her little kids.
Right.
She chose to jaywalk to get across the street to the apartment building, and some guy does a hit and run and kills one of the kids.
Wow.
And they charged the mother.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, they charged the mother.
Are you kidding
no,
me?
No, I'm not, honey. They charged the mother, and thank God somebody finally went, she suffered enough and dropped the charges against her. The indictment didn't hold. They were going to throw that black mother in jail for jaywalking because her kid got killed by a hit and run and blamed it on her. Honey, it's out of hand, It's out of hand, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, just going back to the Casey Anthony thing,
oh my God.
I listened to the news, which was one of the reasons why I've entirely quit watching television.
Yeah.
I heard that girl's mother say, I just saw, you know, I haven't seen my granddaughter in 30 days, and it smells like there's been a damn dead body in the car.
And as a meat wrapper and a butcher's daughter and granddaughter, I can assure you that the smell of fresh, rotting meat is way different from cooked McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, whatever cooked food you have. There is no way that the cooked food rotting, especially if it was McDonald's, would smell the same as fresh, rotting flesh.
Right.
There is a difference.
But then
wait a minute. And even in McDonald's, it's been shown in a documentary, doesn't rot. Long after all the other stuff has rotted down, it's now finally starting to rot. And the French fries never rot. Never get green.
Right.
Never. Okay, so there's no way that fast food would have smelled like a dead body in the back. And anybody that thinks that it does, doesn't know the smell of food and rotting fresh food.
Well, that's what they expect, too. You know, they know you don't know these.
Exactly.
You know.
Or have you ever just driven past certain spots in the highway where there's been a dead animal that lingers and doesn't get picked up for a while?
Totally different.
It's a very different smell than if you say you get a whiff of your garbage can.
Yeah. Right.
Big difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
And
yeah, this jury was stupid. When I saw this first jury that came out after.
But for this mother to then at court testify, oh, the guy at the sheriff's station told me that it smelled like that. It's like, no, I heard your 911 tape, you lying wench.
Yeah.
You know, I have something to say about the parents. Because, you know, I support some cops, and of course, obviously, not some cops. But just from the outside looking in, I know that a lot of cops' kids have identity disorders to one degree or another. Not all, but it's kind of like the syndrome of a preacher's kid.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I believe she's a sociopath, a severe sociopath. I think that the parents, if anything, tried to cover up the murder because they didn't want to lose their daughter too.
Right.
Yet they also knew the right thing, and they were just scared, and they were in fear for her even though, because, you know, I can be in their shoes and feel guilty for them.
Yeah.
But I can also see that father using all of his police experience to try to tell her how to cover shit up. Oops. Sorry.
Well,
forgot we were on live radio.
Yeah. Bleep. But I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anything, it was because he felt guilty. Because he raised her. I don't think he's a molester. I don't think he's an abuser in the line of in the thought of abusing. But that doesn't mean that he's not like a sergeant to their kids. You know, a lot of cops and a lot of people, not all, obviously. You were in service, but if you know, there's a lot of people that were sergeants and COs and things like that that treat their children like their subordinates in the jobs or in the service, and I think that warps a kid to some to one degree or another. And if anything, he might have been hard on her, especially because she's a partier. What happens when you get a partier kid with a parent that's not that wants you to do the straight line? That becomes a clash, and the kid acts out. Okay, and then afterwards, of course, the jury didn't hear this. The grandmother, in a taped interview with investigators, claimed that her daughter, the grandmother of the victim, and her granddaughter Casey. That Casey has had animosity towards her own mother since the baby was born, because the doctor screwed up and handed the grandmother the baby when the baby was born.
Yeah.
And ever since then, Casey complained and bitched at her mother about even, you even got to hold her first, because they doted over her.
Yeah.
She was jealous of her own daughter.
Yeah.
And that's why she, that's why prosecutor and some people, you know, theorize that that's why she did it.
Yeah.
They just didn't present the case good enough. They screwed up in that respect.
Yeah, but I always get frustrated because I feel like ultimately the judge has the, I don't know, the power to sort of, I don't know, veto or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
There are certain opportunities in justice where you have an obligation to kind of say, hey, you guys got it wrong. I'm going to make it right.
Yeah. Now, you know, I look at it this way. She got off. Go ahead.
I thought a judge could recommend you reconsider a verdict.
Yeah. Yeah. Something to that effect. You know what I mean?
I thought there
depends
was
on the state.
Some sort of balance of that.
Depends on the state's constitution, too.
Okay.
As long as it isn't in conflict with the United States Constitution. They have certain. Of course, now, you know, we have, the as a jury, you have the right to vote your conscience as well, but they tell you you can't. But you can. Yeah. Look up FIJA, F-I-J-A, folks. FIJA, Fully Informed Jury Amendment.
There you go. Turn them on, Lynn. Turn them on.
It's the jury nullification rules.
Okay.
Okay. The jury does have the right to vote conscience and nullify the law.
Oh, I love that information.
Okay. So remember that if you're on the jury for a marijuana or other case.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's take a break, of course, because we are going to talk about how this is related to the drug war and everything.
Okay.
Because it is. It's the jackbooted thug stuff, whether it's here or in England or wherever, is all coming out of the drug war.
Yeah.
And it's led into the business of private prison industry and the new slavery.
Yeah.
So I want to get your take on that. So we'll be back. I know you got a song from Mad Anthony ready.
Dedicated to you guys. I heard it this morning and I was like, this is the song I'm
dedicating.
And
it's radio friendly, right?
Yes.
You know the rules.
Well, let's start this track. I am oh so grateful for being here today. So excited.
Me too.
It's like a family get together for me.
That's
so
right. And we got to do yours, so you get to do ours,
this
right?
This is beautiful. Simply amazing. Here you guys are whenever you're ready.
All right, of course, it's Hemp.
I'm busy singing, I'm busy singing. Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library? CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to wvqcprogramming@mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.
WVQC. Radio for the people, by the people.
Hey, this is Willie, and you're going to be voting for a governor in your state, Kentucky, pretty quick. So think about Gatewood Galbraith, because he's my friend. I've known him a long time. He and I believe the same way about a whole lot of things, and I think you believe a lot of the same things that he does. So hear him out. Gatewood for governor. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Teapot Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right. It is, of course, Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress, and rolling up the pot today is Chef Pot and Hash. Stay tuned for one of his segments of Hemp Rock Cafe and the Pottsbury Dope Boy Bakery segment.
Nice.
And the Burn Man has to roll on to his next gig, so he's not going to make it today, but he should be in tomorrow.
Okay.
But now, of course, our guest in the studio today is Jay Allday from Cincinnati's Conscience.
Hey, hey.
She follows us next every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Now, that song, of course, came from Mad Anthony, local band. What's the name of the clip?
Get You High.
Get us high. Definitely get you high.
Oh, so dedicated to the Happy Hemptress and the Pot Bear Doughboy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Oh, so welcome.
Now, of course, Mad Anthony is a local band, and mm-hmm. if you are any local band out there like them, local in the tri-state area, and you want your music heard on WVQC, just like Krista said in the segment, you can contact the station and get your music aired. To do that, you can call 513-651-4171 or go to wvqc.org. Now, we're talking about some of the crazy, crazy, stupid things that cops do, and one of the main things we're talking about today is, of course, the 18-year-old student, soon to be freshman at UC,
yeah.
A graduate, a wrestler.
The Upward Bound program.
Absolutely. A great kid who obviously was not causing a problem. I don't know what they're doing in the training. We were talking about this earlier. At one time, cops were trained to say, stop or I'll shoot. What happened to that?
Yeah.
I don't understand. You know, it doesn't matter. It's an atrocity no matter how you look at it. There's incidences like this, whether they're tased or shot. And then we have a story that I'm sure that you may not be aware of. A guy named Jose. I'm not going to forget his last name at the moment. I'm very sorry to Jose and his family for that. But he was a 27-year-old young father of a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old,
okay.
Two boys. Had served 2 times in Iraq. Was a decorated soldier. And was working at a local mine in Arizona, 12-hour shifts, and third shift, came home, went to bed, was still sleeping at 9:30 in the morning after the 6-year-old had already gone to school, and the mother, his wife, and the 4-year-old were just kind of hanging out in the house, and all of a sudden she heard something outside, looked out of one of her windows, and saw what looked to be a thug with a mask at her door, at her window, peeking in, and then she heard stuff by the front door, and she freaked out. She ran to wake her husband up. He grabbed the shotgun because he thought they were about ready to be broke into, and lo and behold, when the door came flying open, there's about 30 cops out there that shot and hit him 60-some-odd times in front of his wife and son.
It gets better.
Yeah?
Then the police kept the paramedics for coming inside for an hour.
Let him lay on his floor and die.
Why?
Because, you know, he was one of those Mexican guys that obviously is in a drug ring and has drugs in his house.
And he came at us with a gun in his own home, defending it.
Yeah.
With it up in the air.
Yeah.
Never aimed it, never triggered, nothing.
Wow.
And here's the worst part.
He's a Mexican with a gun.
Yeah.
And here's the rest of it.
Which means you a dead Mexican.
Yeah, yeah.
No drugs found in the house. Nothing.
What happened to the art of negotiation? There's hundreds of cop shows on TV today that makes their whole plot and storyline based on the art of negotiation.
Because that's fantasy. That doesn't happen in reality. Hollywood likes to show us what it should be.
Yeah. Or could.
Some shows like to reveal the truth and show that stuff.
Yeah.
But that isn't how it happens. That's how it's supposed to happen. And SWAT teams aren't taught any more negotiations. SWAT teams are taught to shoot and kill, especially during a no-knock warrant.
Yeah.
And you do know that the United States Supreme Court ruled a couple of years ago that the cops don't need to knock now when they have a warrant.
Yeah, I heard
they
that.
They can just bust your door down and come in with guns flailing, shoot your dogs.
Yeah.
What? And then shoot you try to defend your house.
What separates us from a police state?
Nothing.
I want to, you know, really.
Nothing, honey. We have been a police state for many years now. And if you don't, if you're lucky enough not to get shot, you're still going to be found guilty even if you don't have any drugs. Because conspiracy to sell drugs is enough to get you in jail.
Meaning,
depending on where and depending on how much, yes. Could
ten
be more,
years?
could be less. Just if they think and claim that they have evidence that you were the go-between on the phone and made a call and then had the other guy show up with the drugs, you get the same as the other person. So you don't even have to have the drugs. You can get, and if you don't get killed and you're lucky enough not to die, then guess what?
You can still go to prison.
It's called free forced slavery.
Wow.
Okay. Private prison industry okay, is the number one growth industry in this country.
Wow.
And how do you think they make money?
Well, you need prisoners to start off with.
And how do you create prisoners?
You create fictitious laws that are only made to supply the necessary raw material to keep the business going,
which is their bottom dollar.
Yeah.
And then what do they do with those people? They get contracts from Nike and other companies. You know, it used to be the prisoners make license plates.
Yeah.
They make a lot more than license plates. They could be making the shoes that you have on your feet, the furniture that you're sitting on. And how much do they make? About 25 cents a day.
Wow.
And they're told if they don't want to do these jobs, they're going to go to solitary confinement and lose. This is what they did to the guys at the BP cleanup down in the Gulf. They were telling the locals, of course, that they were going to give them jobs for the cleanup mm-hmm. because they displaced all their businesses mm-hmm. because of the bad water. Mm-hmm. Instead, they hired all the prison laborers to come in. And after a few days, they were screaming at City Hall about it, the locals. And then they made the prisoners put on regular clothes so nobody knew the difference between them and the regulars. And they were told, you either go do the cleanup or you lose the good time you've already earned and you go to solitary.
Wow.
And BP then made $4,000 per prisoner in tax credit cash back to the company.
Oh, man.
For the year. Okay. So this is now the norm. And so for, and I've said this before, but this is new to you.
You are blowing my mind
in,
here.
In Wisconsin, the new Republican governor sold out to all the private prisoners, prison industry like our Governor Kasich has done here with a few of the prisons yeah. so far, and then broke their union. Remember all the big union
yeah.
protests and stuff? They broke the union, and then within days of that, overturned a law that stated that most of the county and city jobs, labor jobs, should only be filled by union. That was overturned, and within a matter of a couple of days after that, they brought in all the private prison industry guys, and mostly guys, in to do the jobs that the union workers used to get. So if you don't get killed by the SWAT team, you get to go to get a job if you don't have a job. So it's a new work plan. You know, the economy sucks.
Yeah.
Can't find a work. I have a plan. Yeah. Get arrested and go to jail. Because who are those people that they're having go out of the prison to go do the jobs?
Yeah.
The nonviolent prisoners.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Not the murderers and the rapists.
Yeah.
It's the nonviolent prisoners. Meaning the deadbeat dads, the yeah. DUIs, the yeah. drug possessions.
Right.
Maybe the
right.
drug dealers, things
yeah.
like that.
Depending on who.
You know, nobody that's ever had a...
Violent.
A violent crime,
yeah.
I hope.
Thank God for you. I mean, seriously, in programs like this, because...
There's a lot out there.
You know, no longer can we use ignorance as a justifiable excuse to why we allow certain things to happen.
Yeah.
And there's so much evidence. You've just... Like, my mind is reeling a little bit.
It's a lot to take
just
in.
About how blatantly, you know, this idea of... industry at any cost, you know, like we're willing to sacrifice not only the guilty,
yeah,
but we're willing to sacrifice, you know, everyday people, just kind of anybody.
It's like when the government used to allow a thing called press gangs in England,
uh-huh,
where they would, you'd be walking home from the bar or whatever, get knocked in the head and wake up in the Navy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they called it a press gang. You were pressed into service.
Wow.
By any means necessary. They'd just come up, grab you, throw you on a boat, start rowing.
Kidnap.
Wow.
It's
yeah.
kidnapping.
Legal, justified
yeah.
kidnapping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used to call it the term being shanghaied comes from
yeah.
you would be knocked out so hard you wouldn't wake up until you were in Shanghai.
Wow. Again.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, so grateful for programming like this. I'm curious as to why you guys, and I know you've talked about it before, but for those new to listening, why has this become your passion, your, you know, your position, your stance? Why is this where you choose to speak out?
Do you notice how she switched it over and now she's the interviewer?
Yes.
Well, I'm just kind of, like, I love talking to you guys,
of course.
Though, but I'm
well,
just like...
actually, you know, back in 1988, I was busted for trafficking.
Okay.
I had just a half a pound or
okay.
even less than that. And I guess I'm just such an idiot that they pissed me off instead of scared me. And, you know, I was already pissed off before they did that because, you know... being someone who smokes marijuana
yeah.
and has been made a criminal because of the laws,
yeah.
it makes me more aware. And instead of being the kind of person that I just ignored it,
mm-hmm.
I was always sitting in my house bitching about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's why I came up with the pot smokers are like roaches, where you find one, there's 1,000 hiding in the closet.
True indeed.
Because most of us are in the closet.
Yeah.
And then when that happened to me in 1988, it just made me so angry that, like a lot of people, I decided to get active instead
yeah.
of go more in the closet.
Yeah.
And of course, I had, you know, quit selling, but I've never quit smoking.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know where I get it other than just my anger. And it's something that I learned a long time ago to turn that anger out towards changing what I don't like.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all good to go with the concept for the for people like an AA or any kind of a 12-step program that, mm-hmm. you know, one of the main steps is to accept that you can't change things that you can't change.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that the world is one of those things.
I agree with you.
Okay.
I agree.
I think that if everybody took on the attitude that we can't change the world, guess what? We all stay in a bunch of crap.
Yeah, exactly.
And if there was no way to change the world, honey, you wouldn't be sitting here on the radio with me.
Amen.
Okay?
Do you feel like there's some validity in your cause and your passion over the past few years with the recent show? Sorry. The recent
show. I think we're going to be on your show today.
I think that's A-okay.
Well, hey, at least you know you're not going to be late.
That's it.
You can have the Dope Boys segment on your show.
Done. Well, I just quick question.
Like, I'm under contract to do what the hell she tells me to.
Dr. Oz recently had a show on medicinal marijuana, and I thought of you.
With Montel?
Yes.
Actually, that was a rerun.
It was it?
It was on a couple of few months ago during the regular season. Yeah,
I didn't see that, but seeing that just made me so proud of your efforts. I mean, you know, you were doing it before it was not so cool, you know.
Before Montel had MS.
Exactly.
Or at least he knew.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And does that make you feel any certain way?
There's a lot of stuff that I have seen. I've been active now since 1990. And in that time frame, not only did 16 states and D.C. become medical states. Now, you know, my cause is not only medical.
Okay.
There are a lot of people that only focus on the medical, that support other parts of the legalization, but focus on the medical. One of the things that I've been able to do as a media organization and an educational organization is to talk about all of the aspects.
Yes.
It's one of the reasons why I have a new ethanol vehicle.
Okay.
Because the cellulose from the stalk of hemp can be now made into sugar, which can then be turned into ethanol, alcohol, fuel.
Yeah.
And so we don't need foreign oil. We don't even need the corn to make ethanol.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my angles. You can wear hemp clothes.
Yeah.
You can in France, they make what's called the hempcrete. It is made out of lime and hemp fibers and cellulose, and it's the strongest brick that they're building with, and it's won awards over in Europe. You can make, well, for that matter, the original Ford, the body was made out of materials from the hemp oils.
I didn't know that.
And the fibers, yeah. And so this is not a new thing. It's an old thing that we're trying to bring back, because if we don't bring it back, guess what? We're going to destroy the world and then ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think it was you that was on one of the last times that I made the comment that I can show you how if we end the drug war, we can end global warming.
Wow.
And I think it was you that kind of looked at me funny, Pottsberry.
Oh, no, I've read Jack Harris' book. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Maybe it was the Burn Man. Every aspect of the drug war, every aspect, even heroin and cocaine should be legalized and allowed to be imported by the countries that produce it the best. They all have uses, and instead of trying to eradicate it with pesticides that DuPont and Monsanto makes that destroys environments and the rainforests where all these things grow, we could be saving the rainforests and helping our economy and helping the addicts that do become addicted to these things with Ibogaine, made from the Iboga plant, an African psychedelic plant that has alkaloids that stops the dopamine or the receptors from craving and allows the person to go on without the addiction.
Wow.
Okay, in one dose.
Wow.
It's about a 90% success rate.
Yeah.
Okay. It's being kept illegal, and instead they're opening up methadone clinics everywhere. So don't get addicted to their drugs. Get addicted to our drugs. Oh, I forgot they're both our drugs.
Yeah. That's
they're both.
Bananas.
Okay. And what happened, and I don't want to digress on this, but, you know, I am not surprised. I'm very sick-heartened about it because they're our boys. But the 31 people that just got killed in Afghanistan in one swoop,
the helicopter.
That was retaliation for what we did over there with bin Laden. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that that was wrong or right.
Right.
There's elements of it that I didn't like because it was execution style. I guess sometimes I'm going to support something like that, and maybe with that I would. But I don't support it in the sense of it created more retaliation, and now we've lost 31 people.
Yeah.
Of our top of the line
yes.
SEALs.
Yes.
Okay. And in essence, what's been going on over in Afghanistan anyway since we invaded there was all we did was take the power of the Taliban away from the opium mm-hmm. and gave it to us.
Yeah.
And think about it. Before Afghanistan was invaded, was heroin all over the streets still then? It was, but was it as prevalent as it is now,
right.
now that we've opened up the borders for the Afghanistan opium to come in?
Wow.
Same thing happened during the Vietnam days. Okay. It was about who's going to control the opium line. That's what it was about. And, of course, the oil.
Yeah.
But they have more opium over there. That's why they have to grow opium.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yes, their whole economy's based on it. We can't take that away from them.
No. No. Can't leave. Not that I, you know, think that people should be going out doing heroin. I think people should, if they're going to use any opiate at all, it should be opium. Just smoke it. And be careful not to smoke too much of it, because it can become addicting.
Yeah.
Okay. But, again, there's Ibogaine to fix that. I mean, we're not getting rid of cigarettes.
Right.
We're still selling them. You just can't smoke them in certain places.
Right.
Pop is addicting.
Yeah.
And can kill you.
Yeah.
Okay. McDonald's can kill you. There was the guy that did the movie.
If you ask nice, Super I size. Can kill you.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I went back to that military trained killer thing for a second.
Did you ever see the movie Super High Me? Super Size Me. Super High Me is the other
one. One I have seen, one I'm going to see.
It's a good one. So you've seen Super Size.
Can I watch?
Yes.
Oh,
so, dun, dun, dun.
So then you saw how the guy,
yes.
within 2 weeks of eating McDonald's, his liver looked like cirrhosis of the
yes.
liver with an alcoholic.
Yes.
So McDonald's
yes,
can kill.
But that guy's wife was a vegetarian chef.
Oh, he had a healthy diet till he ate McDonald's
yes,
every day.
Do you think that man ever ate McDonald's?
Only
his
for those
wife
30
was
days.
A vegetarian
yeah.
chef.
No, that was the whole
no,
concept.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
his body just wanted couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that anybody's
if you
liver
change,
looks
know,
like that eating
I've
McDonald's
had
all the time.
In dietary things. And nutrition, you can't change your diet that radically and not have an adverse effect. You just can't do it. It's physically impossible.
Yeah, but the bottom line, it doesn't.
Sick.
Even if you don't eat healthy and then switch to McDonald's, that doesn't stop McDonald's from destroying your liver.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't have a healthy diet, you don't become so adapted to the bad food that it doesn't hurt your body. You become addicted to it instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just continues over time to debilitate
but
the
I'm
body.
But I'm just saying, people who go to McDonald's, you know, every week or two, they've built up more of a tolerance, though.
No, their livers are still turning into crap. There is no tolerance. You still absorb the bad fats, and it still destroys your liver. No way around it, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, the massive bombardment he did so suddenly.
Well, sure, it was within 30 days.
Of course. He ate three meals a day there for 30 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would make anybody sick. Yeah.
My point. Whether you're
but
a vegetarian
I'm just saying,
going
it would
in,
be much more prevalent with somebody who never had that type of diet before.
Well, you
it
can
would
see
be
it
like,
better,
say,
sure.
Yeah.
You can see it better because he goes from a clean liver to a bad liver in 2 weeks. But that doesn't mean that somebody who's been eating
okay,
it their whole life
what
has a clean
is,
liver.
You're right.
Okay,
but think of the poison arsenic. If you take it in small doses, yes, it will kill you. Very slowly over time, your health will just gradually decline. If you just take a big old handful and swallow it, you're going to die. Right now.
Yeah, but even he didn't do it. He, you know, still, the point, the bottom line that I'm trying to make is that this stuff is addicting. This stuff kills. Why is it okay that we give it to our children, but we throw a black mother in jail for getting her child high that and it doesn't hurt them? When there are doctors in medical states that prescribe medical marijuana for the children because it's the most benign substance they can give to them. So, you know, we're in an upside-down world. We're in an upside-down world. And I don't think that they should outlaw McDonald's. Okay, I think that San Francisco, when they outlawed Happy Meals in the city of San Francisco, that they were wrong because prohibiting anything is wrong. Okay, educating on what this bad substance does to you and it being your choice is what I support because it's consumer-driven. What is McDonald's doing now? They're starting to have healthier
mm-hmm.
foods for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Offering. They have 7 different salads on their menu.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they're doing what the consumer wants.
When you used to be able to get that little tiny
yeah.
cup of shredded up lettuce.
You could.
Exactly.
With the wet nap size packet of dressing.
God,
it was pathetic. Ladies, I'm going to have to play an ID here.
Yeah, let me see your auxiliary thing right
there.
You
go.
No, the
auxiliary.
Oh,
your
cord.
Bam. We have achieved the top of the hour.
Oh.
Oh. Hi, you're listening to Jay All Day on WVQC. <Huh. laughs> That's with special guests.
We'll skip our out. Do you want to do your segment before we roll into her show?
Actually, I can do Let's it on do Jay's it. Show.
You can That's do fine. It right I, now. Let's keep the ball
well,
going.
Well, you see, the whole problem with that is you're going to have to pick up your computer because I didn't bring my cookbook.
Oh.
So I have to have the one out of your briefcase.
Well,
bam.
We can
Done.
Take care of that right now.
Bam.
She just reached up under her slip.
Now
well,
you have that.
She just reached into her box, but a whole other, you know.
Now you have your.
And the book's not even wet. What?
Yeah.
Do you have your auxiliary turned up?
I have.
Ready to go? Your
auxiliary
pot
is turned up. Yes.
All righty. We're going to go ahead and play this real quick, and then we'll roll on into Jay All Day.
Done.
Here we go with the Pottsbury Bakery.
Hey, Hemp Rockers, this is Chef Pot and Hash, the Pottsbury Dope Boy. I was just reading my newly released cookbook, the first book ever released by Hemp Rock Publishing, Cooking with Cannabis and Other Psychedelics, by Chef Matt Inman, a.k.a. Chef Pot and Hash of the Hemp Rock Cafe and Pottsbury Bakery. Now available from the Pottsbury Bakery or the Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Or 513-684-4367.
FM.
All right.
We're not on the aux. But we are on Jay All Day now.
Unofficially.
No,
we're
it's
still
official.
Rolling with
it's
official. Radio.
No, it's official.
It's official. It's now your show.
Whatever I say now, you're liable for.
Well, then, if that's the case.
That's right. You better do your.
I need my introduction.
That's right.
Okay. Can I take the ox?
Yep. I'm okay. Done.
Let's get.
And I can just babble incoherently for a little while the ladies take care of the technical issues.
Yeah, you go ahead and roll into the cafe segment, and I'm going to go put some money in the meter, and you can do your
intro. Okay.
We're going to do an intro. We already did my intro.
We'll do it then. Done.
This is the segment.
Done.
Done. Well, how about we do a recipe then?
Done.
Awesome. Would you like to know how to make some Moroccan hash tea? Do you think
that
your listeners might
wonderful.
Like that?
Wonderful. That sounds wonderful.
It's one of my favorite recipes because this is, out of my whole cookbook, I try to throw in. There's recipes for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Of course, I am a pastry chef, so there's plenty of desserts and things of that nature.
I want you to hold that thought. Since this is officially Cincinnati's Conscience, we're going to throw in the intro really quick, and then we're going to talk recipes.
Awesome.
This has been the Monday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Pottsbury Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Speaking for the legalization of marijuana. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WVQC LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com.
Lolly and props for your American freedom to the trigger box.
Hemprock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemprock Cafe are brought to you by Hemprock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemprock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Coming up next on WVQC-LP is Jay All Day with Cincinnati's Conscience, where hippie meets the hood.